We ask God's grace. And we need His Spirit. And His Spirit's not a thing. It's not a force. We want God to be with us. And we want God to be with the preaching and with those that are hearing the sermon here and over the internet. We want God to be with those that are listening. Otherwise, why do anything? Unless God build a house, why do anything? Let's ask God to build it right now, all right? God, I pray You work in the hearts of those that are listening. God, do something right now. Let them change, God, for Your glory, Father. Let not the devil and the world's ways continue, God, to just defeat Your people in these last days, Lord. Raise up a new generation of godly children that will stand against this ungodly world, Father. We pray that Your Spirit will be with the preaching this morning, Lord. We thank You for all the good things You've given us, Lord, in this world. But we look forward to the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, those that might not have heard the first part, please try to listen to that because we're just going to pick up where we left off and we're not going to do too much review today. I want you to look at Psalms 127, verse 4. It says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man to have his quiver full of them. Quiver is what you put arrows in when you're going hunting. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are a blessing. And they will be a protection to you spiritually. It's good to have large families if you're going to raise them right. And I want you to see that a certain degree of boldness will be in your children that are raised in large families. That does not mean that it's impossible to get boldness in a small family, but I want you to see that it's the children, they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Meaning they're going to be able to stand up against their enemies. And so there's a certain blessing that God gives you with the large family. And you need to pray for that and seek it because it's not reasonable to let the world and the cults raise the large families for the devil. Let's go ahead and raise some good families for the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I tell you, if you don't have a large family, that's all the more reason to be planted in the house of God where you have brothers and sisters that you can interact with and where your children can interact with. And that's so important that they learn how to share and have good manners and be a good sport and that type of thing. And I believe that if you plant your child in a godly church where there's that interaction, they're going to learn to be a good sport. They're going to learn that interaction and those good manners. The only way that it can be stifled because sometimes parents get in the middle of their children in a way that's not reasonable. And they come to their defense and they want to protect them and always stand up for their child instead of being reasonable and realize, you know what, my child's probably just as selfish and as the other child. And I'm going to be harder on my child than I am on the other child. And that's the way to be. And if you don't rescue them in an overprotective way, I believe that they will get what they need in a local church where there's that interact. Now, if you just take them out of church back and forth all the time and they're never there to interact with the children, a church isn't going to do much for you. And so let's remember that. But that's going to bring us to the subject today that we've been examining. We've been noticing how children are to be made into what? They're to be made into arrows. And arrows, there's a difference between an arrow and a stick, isn't there? You have to make an arrow. And your children are to be made into arrows for the Lord. We need to be raising up spiritual weapons for God. That will confront this culture. Do you understand that? And when these arrows are ready to be launched, they're going to be mighty for God. But you have to make them into arrows. We have to let God do it. But this is a generation of parents that is losing the children to the world. Are y'all listening? I just like to know sometimes. They're losing children to sin. This is a generation of parents losing children to rebellion. And the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, when it comes to children, it characterizes the last generation of children as disobedient to parents. We're raising children that are disobedient to parents in America. It's not that they're just being disobedient, they're being raised disobedient to parents. You say, how is that? Because when you just let them be, you're raising them to be disobedient. When you immerse them into this culture, in this world, the culture will work on them and increase that natural rebellion that's in their heart and will bring it to the surface. We also know from Malachi that there's going to be an alienation between fathers and children in the last days. In fact, that's one reason God says, I'm about to judge the world. That's one reason He's going to make it hotter and hotter. People are talking about global warming. They're wondering, why is this happening? Maybe it's because of cows, or maybe it's because of the car. Well, God tells you why. One of the reasons is because fathers and children have an alienation between them. Fathers are too busy to care about kids, about their children, and children are not being taught that you better respect your daddy, and you better say yes sir to your daddy, and you better not be smart with him. You better not, because he's God's representative on this earth. And there's some kids that die because God smites them because they're disobedient to their parents. And we need to teach children to fear the Lord. Teach them to say yes sir. Teach them that respect for fathers, so they can grow up to have respect for God. I've said it, and I'm going to say it again. The world today is purposely, listen now, purposely manufacturing this alienation by the culture. In other words, the world is stirring up children to be rebels. You know, you think of the old rock songs showing kids the daddy saying, you're not going to listen to this type of music. And all of a sudden, the child says, we're not going to take it anymore, you know, and beats up the dad or something. That's funny, isn't it? Oh, it's so funny to make money off of 13-year-old kids that are so confused. They're just little punks, little brats. They've been raised that way. They're precious in the sight of God, and somebody's going to be in trouble for raising them as little punks and little brats. Do you hear me? And then they grow up to be big punks and big brats. Our culture is turning these kids into rebels. And when I say this culture, I'm talking about entertainment industry, public school, television, the music industry. The age is rapidly approaching, and I believe in many ways it's already here, when women and children are going to rule the world. I believe there's like the devil, just for fun, lets women and children believe they're going to rule the world in the final Antichrist kingdom. And then he just laughs at it, takes his mask off, and says, you bunch of suckers, you know, and Satan begins to rule the world. And the women and children are sitting there looking like, what happened? I thought we were the new kings. And it was just a big trick. See? And the Bible says this is going to happen. Look at Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. You know one way they lead them? Because you have pastors and leaders across this country that will not confront their people about the dangers of the culture. That's the problem. They let them continue to raise their kids in public education. They let them think that if you go home and set your child in front of MTV or in front of these ungodly movies, you're going to end up blessed, because we're not legalists. So it's the people that lead thee, cause thee to err, because they don't warn you and they don't hold you accountable. That's the problem. You might go do that stuff anyway, friend, but I'm going to make it as difficult as possible for you to do it. Understand that? I'm going to make you have your tail between your legs when you come in here. You're going to be ashamed of yourself. You're going to have to hide it, because I'm going to preach about it. Another way is the political leadership. Hate crime legislation. It's allowing the women and children to rule over God's people today. And unless we get in the way of it, it's just going to continue down that slippery slope. Now, that's a far cry from the age when the movie industry pretended to be a friend. Now, please hear me. When the movie industry first began, and you had the late 20s, early 1930s, from the very beginning, they took the Lord's name in vain. From the very beginning, even in the nicest movies, the little children, instead of saying Jesus like the adults would do, the adults blasphemed the Lord. They used the word Jesus as a cuss word. The little children would stop and just say, Jeez, taking it out of context. See, so, Jeez, gosh, all these words are our Lord's name. Go look at a good dictionary. And I'm telling you, the movie industry from the very beginning, even in good movies, blasphemed the Lord Jesus. So something was wrong from the beginning. You understand that? They were not your friend from the very beginning. However, at least at the very beginning, they issued this statement. They all got together and they had a statement that says, law, divine, natural, or human, shall not be ridiculed, nor shall sympathy be created for its violation. So all the movie producers got together and said, we will never in our movies ridicule law, either by the law or natural law or whatever it might be. It was not long before they left that standard. So I believe we need to repent. Men need to repent. And men today need to stop letting children and women rule over you. You understand that? And men need to take back their families. And I think with God, this can be accomplished. But I know a lot of men are rightfully afraid because the legal system is very construed against men today. Remember we said in the last days, this is how it would be. And a lot of men are very afraid to do anything because they realize what can happen. But I believe we ought to stand up and at least say, God, with your power, I'm going to take a stand. And I pray, God, that you would just open that door like you did with Daniel. And that you would meet me in that furnace like you did with Daniel's friends. And I think God will. You have to be a mighty man if you're going to raise children in this culture. Look at Psalms 127. I want you to look at verse 4 again. As arrows are in the hands of what type of man? A mighty man. Those will be the children that are going to confront this culture. It takes a mighty man for God to raise children to confront this culture. And those will be the children that will stand up and get in the way of homosexuality. These will be the children that won't have their pants hanging down with their underwear showing. These will be the children that will stand up like men and will grow courageous and bold in the face of this world that's fallen away to sodomy. And homosexuality and such like. Did you know you can help your children become useful to the Lord if you'll take a stand and be strong for them? Are you listening today? Man, daydream somewhere else. We got the Word of God today. Amen? If you take a stand for your children, you can help them be mighty for God. So we need men like Moses. The state made a deal with Moses. The state came and says, look, we're going to make a deal with God's people. Y'all go out and worship the men. Just go out and have your little men's seminar out in the wilderness. But you leave your children under the state. We get your children. You know what Moses said? No! It's not going to happen. You're going to give us our kids and we are not going to give you our children. Man, that's the generation we need today. People that will believe God and confront Pharaoh if need be. And tell Pharaoh, you're not going to have my children. Because some in the state want your children for Hillary's New World Order Village. They want your children from the very beginning. Education has long gone. They don't care about academics for the most part now. If you look at the education organizations, what they want now is to socialize your children. You know how Christians say, well, I believe we need to send them to school so they can be socialized. Well, guess what? They want to socialize your child. But what they mean by socialize is not what I hope you mean by it. They want to turn your child into a confused homosexual so he'll end up getting depressed and kill himself. They want to teach your child tolerance. And what tolerance means is that you hate Christianity, fundamental Christianity, and you love to play with witchcraft and that type of thing. That's what they want to do to your children. That's what they are doing to the children today. Except in the cases where there's godly teachers still in the public school. But something else is a problem here. In many cases, it's not Pharaoh standing up saying, give me your children, and you have a bunch of Christians that are just weak saying, okay, as long as I get them in Sunday school and church, you know, that'll be okay. No, you've got Christians willfully handing over their children. They want to hand their children over to Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't even have to fight. The Bible says the Antichrist spirit sometimes destroys many by peace. Just by indoctrinating and brainwashing and convincing you that it's normal for you to send your child to public school for us to turn them into nice little homosexual citizens. That's normal. And you've got Christians saying, well, you know, I don't want to sit with the children all day. And boy, we do need to send them somewhere. So I'll have children and send them off to public school, let them be indoctrinated. And shame on you parents that are listening out there somewhere. Shame on you because you know what it was like when you were in school. It's not any better now, buddy. So you're sending your child into a worse mess than you experienced. And you know what it did to you. And it's only by the grace and mercy of God that you got out of it with all your scars. Why do you want your children to be scarred? If you barely got out, they might not get out at all. Isn't that right? Yep. You know what the Bible says? It says by faith. Oh, this is good. It says by faith, the parents of Moses defied the state. How did they get the courage and boldness to do that by faith? They said, Jesus is coming. And we better believe and fear God. And that gave them the ability to stand up to Pharaoh. The Bible says, by faith, the parents of Moses hid him. And it tells you something very interesting. It says they were not afraid. It says, by faith, they were not afraid of the state. When the state commanded, we're going to kill those children. They hid Moses by faith. That was an act of disobedience. But it was godly disobedience. It was obedience to God, wasn't it? Now tell me, was that a mighty action? I believe it was. I believe it was a mighty action. That took strong parents that would stand up. Because a lot of parents said, well, everybody's doing it now. Everybody gives their children to Pharaoh. You know, we all should give our children to Pharaoh. There's really nothing you could do about it. But Moses' parents were mighty. They stood up and said, we're not going to do that. Boy, that's mighty, isn't it? Faith makes you mighty. And if you will become mighty for God by faith, you'll be able to stand up against the state. Now, guess what happened? When faith made Moses' parents strong, what did Moses become for God? A mighty arrow. You see that? The Bible says children that are in the hand of a mighty man will become arrows for God. And you got Moses' parents with this act of faith, and then you have Moses as a mighty arrow that God used to deliver His people. I believe if we'll stand up against this culture, and God forbid if need be the state, as it continues down the slippery slope of abomination, your children will be mighty arrows for God. But if you're weak, if you're passive, if you give in to the culture around you, if you give in to all the everything that's against you today, and you're not a strong man, your children will never be used for God today. You will raise a passive, nihilistic, shoulder-shrugging child that will do nothing for God and probably will not even be in church when he's 20 years old. I hate that. God forbid. But unless you take a stand today and they see faith in mama and daddy and they learn by that example, like Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother, unless they learn from you and you instill faith in them, and I mean faith to stand. Faith means that you're able to stand against those that are demanding you to sin. Like Daniel. And like Daniel's friends. Too many parents today give their children away to Hollywood. They give their children away to humanism. They do it for money. They do it because they're foolish. They want to be like everybody else. The reason you watch a lot of the wicked things you watch, whether in this church or whether speaking to folks that are listening out there, the reason you have allowed your children to watch some of the wicked things they've watched is because you're weak. You're afraid. You don't want to stand up to somebody somewhere. Either you don't want to stand up to the wife, you don't want to stand up to grandma, you don't want to stand up to grandpa. There's weakness in your life. And because you will not take responsibility for your children, your child has been indoctrinated with sicko homosexual propaganda. And they might be confused right now. The seeds just haven't come out yet. It's weakness. Some of it is just ignorance. And it's this inability to go investigate the world before you saturate your children in it. Because we want this world to be this beautiful place. Wouldn't it be so much fun to just send our children? I watch Disney. Let them watch Disney. You don't want to wake up to the times. Disney's never been exactly right, but they're sure not right today. See, we want to be normal. But normal people are losing their children to homosexuality, suicide, drugs, rebellion, or just plain old passivity and nihilism that says, I don't care about anything. Who cares? Do you want to be normal? Man, today I don't want to be normal. Today I don't want to raise normal children. I like it when people come up and say, well, your children are different. I don't want to be normal. I want everywhere I go, the owner of the place to come up and say, I just want to tell you, praise God for your children. We don't see children like that. That's what I want. And I've worked hard to instill that. And it's possible today. I don't want to be normal. Normal today is a young man, Christian's age, to have his pants hanging down, to where his underwear is showing, to have his body pierced all up and cut up and tattooed, and to probably be high on meth somewhere. That's normal. You want normal? I don't want normal for my children. So you got to dare to be different. You got to teach your children to dare to be Daniels. Because Daniel wasn't afraid of being different. Though everybody else is going to do it one way, we're going to do it this way, says Daniel. Praise God for that. I see this whole responsibility as drawing back the arrow on the bowstring. Drawing back the arrow on the bowstring. Who knows how to shoot this thing? Who's there? Wesley, come up here, man. I hope you can aim well, buddy. Come. Show these people what it's like to have an arrow pointed. No, don't do that. Point it somewhere, brother, that's not anywhere near them. People say, you ought not do stuff like that in church. Point it that way, brother. Not toward me. Okay, now that's the arrow. What does the arrow represent? Children, your child. Now, for that arrow to go anywhere, I just want you to hold it up like that, and I want you to be a real effeminate, passive man, okay? I want you to barely pull that thing back. Okay, shoot him out for God. Shoot him. Woo! Boy, that went far, didn't it? That's what's going to happen to your child if you don't pull him back from this stinking culture. Do you understand that? If you let him be saturated with Hollywood, humanism, public indoctrination, he will do nothing for God. But if you pull him back good, brother. Be a man. Pull him back. Not toward me. Pull him back. Pull him back. Pull him back. All right. Now guess what? The further he pulls him back, the higher he sails for the Lord. You understand that? The more force he has for God. So the mightier man you have in the home that's going to use those biceps and that backbone and is going to pull that thing back, he's going to do something for God. Now, just stand there and just kind of look at him. Just kind of snarl at him every now and then. Now listen. It's going to take strength in the Lord, especially in this day and age, to pull that bow back. When the culture is against this bowstring, it is hard to pull it back. There's resistance. There's a lot on you today, unlike never before that I know of. There is a lot on you. There's a lot against you. That every time you go to try to pull this thing back, it's going to scream. Something around you is going to scream. And it's going to put up opposition. No, no. You know what? We need to get rid of them wicked movies in the home. No, no, no. And the children scream. Maybe the wife does if she's not a godly wife. Maybe if it's a godly wife, the husband screams. But maybe grandma screams. Maybe the next door neighbor. But you're going to have people in church calling you every name in the book when you try to pull this bow back. So it's going to take a mighty man to say, I'm not listening to you anymore, and pull the thing back. I got a hurt hand. I can't pull that back. But what are they going to say? They're going to say this. Don't pull it back so far. Pull it back. No, no, not so far. I need you to understand something. Pull it back. No! When you pull children back like that, you're going to harm them. Delicate little arrow. Don't you pull them back. Pull them back. No! The children. They need to have fun. You're pulling those children back too far. Pull them back. No! You see that? And every time I said no, what did he do? Now you need to defy me. Don't pull it back. No, don't. Look what he did. He just continued pulling it back. Who cares what you say? I don't care about what you think. I don't care what you call normal. I want to raise my children for God, and God told me to pull my children back from this ungodly culture. I don't give anything about what anybody else says about it. Amen? Right? All right. I don't sit my children in front of television. How many Disney movies have you seen in your life? How many cartoons have you seen in your life? When have you ever looked at a TV? Now, what would people say today? They would say, oh, child abuse! You can't pull them back that far! Well, how come my children are the ones that people say, wow, what did you do with your children? I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you the proof's in the pudding. And I pray I'll continue getting that fruit if I will continue obeying God. I don't set my children in front of homosexual propaganda. I don't take them to places where they can be indoctrinated. I don't let them go to somebody's house where I can't trust the person where they're at. Because I believe that we need to pull them back from this world. Do you believe that? I'm telling you, you better pull them back on that bow, and it's going to take a man to stand up and do it. The culture is racing to hell. It's no time to be normal today. You got to stand out from the pack. All right. Now, here's something I want to tell you. The further back your children are pulled in purity and holy separation, the further they're going to shoot out for God. Man, don't mess up our walk, but shoot that thing over there somewhere. Go ahead, shoot it. Brother, you stuck it in the wall. That's all right. Man, that went pretty far, didn't it? Okay, we're going to draw something around that and say that was a pastoral illustration. That's history we just made. Kingdom Baptist Church. Let that always be your illustration. Wesley, what I want to show you, buddy, is that the further you pull it back, the further it goes. Do you see that? So what they're telling you is don't pull them back. I'm telling you, the more you pull them back in purity, the further they'll shoot for God. What is the excuse for placing children in humanistic schools? Immersing them into Hollywood and pop music. They need to be socialized. They say you should not pull them back from the world. But you look at their life. Everybody that tells you that. Look at what they're raising. They're the ones raising boys that look like girls. They're the ones that are raising boys and girls that look like gangsters and punks. And they're telling you, oh, you gotta let your child be socialized. No, you gotta pull them back from all ungodly influences. Whether it be schools, relatives, cousins, or bad friends. People say, oh, that's hard preaching, buddy. You know, that sounds cultic. No, it's not cultic. If his cousin's a homosexual, I don't want him near my child, indoctrinating him without my supervision. You understand that? Never put your child somewhere where a relative can indoctrinate your child without your supervision. Watch over them. If they spend the night at your house, have a speaker inside that room that you can hear every word that's said. That's how I live. You understand that? Somebody comes over to my house, I know what type of child they are. Because I got a speaker that sits right in there. I hear every word you say. Look at Proverbs 29. The rod and reproof. Look at him, Wesley. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth who to shame? His mother. You say, why is his mother? It might be she was the one in the way of the father pulling back that bow. And it might be she has her own responsibility. He has his responsibility because pull that bow back, man. If he goes to pull that bow back and all of a sudden she comes and screams and says, this is abuse! This is child abuse! Don't do that. I can't take it anymore. You're hurting my children. They're not being socialized. If he gives up, he says, I hear what pastor's saying, but you know what? A man's got to live and it's better to live in the wilderness than with a contentious woman. So I'm just not going to pull it back as much as I would have. He's to blame. But don't you think God's not going to get to that woman also? See, she's got her own part to play. And a child left to himself, if the daddy allows that to happen, mama's going to get her share of shame in that thing. But another reason is mama's the one that keeps the house. And so she's the one where the father's will is going to be enacted in that house. She's the one that's to weave his instruction throughout that house. And if she's allowing the child to be spoiled during the day and to get his way when daddy comes home, the fruit's going to be in that child. He's going to say, you have not been doing what I want you to do with the child because look at her. Look what she's doing. Look what he's doing. My rule is if they mess up immediately, you don't speak to them, you give them a whipping. And then you explain yourself. The Bible says the rod and reproof, not the reproof and the rod. See. The Bible says a child left to himself. That means a child, if he's just left alone with no supervision, if he's not pulled back from this culture, the child will grow corrupt. That corruption will come out. 2 Corinthians 6, let's read it. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Do you want your children to be sons and daughters of the Lord in a special way? I want my children to be sons and daughters of the Lord in a special way. God says, I give you a promise. Your children will shoot out as my arrows. And then what does he say? The one condition. If you draw them back from this ungodly culture. If you draw them back from this Canaanite culture. And they learn not the ways of the heathen. They learn not the manners of the people. If you will draw them back, touch not the unclean thing. Draw your children back. They shall be my sons and daughters. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from what filthiness? All filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now listen to me right here. This is important. Somebody's going to say, pull that bow back a lot, man. Pull it back. With all your might. Don't shoot nobody, but pull it back with all your might. With all your might. Now somebody's going to say, if you pull a bow back too much, it'll break. And that's your problem. You're too strict with your children. You're pulling them back too much. You can break a bow. So they say, I understand your analogy that you need to pull it back, but you can pull it back too far. Here's what I say to that. I don't think there's too much of a danger today in men pulling that bow back too far. Because we have weaker men than we did in earlier days. You understand that? We've been raised that way. If anything, you think you're strong, but really in God's eyes, you're barely pulling that thing back. Do you see that? You're like, oh, this has hurt me so much. I'm going through so much persecution, preacher, in my home. Oh, you barely got any opposition. No lamp is going through the window. You understand that? You barely have any. You've got a little bit of opposition. And you're acting like it's this great thing in your life. No, you think you're pulling this thing back and you're barely registering on the bow. It's barely bending. You got a long way to go before you pull that thing back too far. 9 times out of 10 today, most people are not pulling the bow back far enough. Because we're in a weak age. They spare for the crying of their children. They immerse the children in the culture. And the children fall prey to propaganda of advertisers. Maybe they're too weak to tell grandpa no. Others just want their children to have fun. They immerse their children into the occult. When I was driving in Arkansas, we were going to go to this one church. And I walked up to what I think was the pastor's house. And I noticed that there were Disney videos. It seemed like a fundamental church. But there were Disney videos that his kids had been watching. I assume, I'm judging there. But it seems that his kids were watching these things like Lion King and that type of thing. It made me where I didn't want to go to the church. Because I'm thinking, what could he possibly tell me if he's immersing the most precious thing that he has in the culture of this world? What could he really ever tell me? Is he going to preach against homosexuality? What's he going to preach against? Do you realize the two characters in Lion King are gay, according to the voice actors that played the role? The people in that were voicing the movie said, yeah, these characters were gay. The purpose was to indoctrinate your children in homosexual lifestyle. And that's not to mention the shamanism and witchcraft and New Age religion that was in something like Lion King. And I know that maybe the pastor just didn't know any better. But who in the world is going to know if the pastor doesn't know? I know he's not God, but I'm saying if the men of God, the guys that are supposed to be teaching and preaching, if they're not warning people, really there shouldn't be a Christian man in that church, including the pastor, that didn't sit down and say, what is this stuff? I will never let my children watch it before I watch every bit of it. and see if it's of God or not. Because I got a command from God. He didn't. There's no. You cannot get out of this requirement. You have a command from God to teach your children godliness. And He's not dismissed anybody from that responsibility. All you got to do is type on the internet for 5 minutes and find out what is the Lion King about? Who produced it? Who wrote it? Timothy says, 2 Timothy, trace everything back and find out where it came from. Who produced this movie? Who wrote the movie? What was the purpose of this movie? Now, if you just give up on worldly entertainment, it'll pretty much solve your whole problem. Then all you have to do is be discerning about Christian stuff. Because a lot of Christian stuff is not godly. Do you know that the people who design these movies for your children, 9 times out of 10 are homosexuals and antichrists? Do you know that the folks that play the voice roles and sometimes are actors and actresses in the movies are pedophiles? Do you know they hire them? I don't know if it's some kind of crude joke they're playing on Christians, but they hire homosexuals and pedophiles to play in those movies. There was one Disney case where they allowed this guy to play in a movie that was a convicted molester of children, and Disney never answered the case. Why are you doing that? Are they just being merciful to convicted pedophiles? Or is there something more sinister involved? Let's look at something real quick. Disney's animation department headed by homosexual. Isn't that nice? That means all the Disney cartoons are headed by a homosexual. The Walt Disney Company's newest animated film, Finding Nemo, features homosexual activist Ellen DeGeneres as the voice of Dory, one of the fish in the story. Isn't that nice? Isn't it sweet? Oh, but little Nemo. We love little Nemo, don't we? Disney's animation division, of course, has long been under the control of homosexuals. The former head of the division was Thomas Shoemaker, an open homosexual. He was replaced by David Stanton, who formerly ran Disney's television animation division. Stanton is also an open homosexual who can be expected to introduce subtle homosexual themes in Disney's animated film. One of its producers has already admitted doing so. The Advocate, a homosexual magazine, interviewed Lilo and Stitch, whatever that is, co-director Dean DeBlois in its July 9, 2002 issue. DeBlois discussed how he put homosexual messages into this animated film, including cross-dressing. One of the cartoon characters wears a wig and pretends to be a woman. According to The Advocate, the film's central theme is the formation of a non-traditional family. Isn't this nice? Christians around the country are not pulling that arrow back. They're barely pulling it back. They're just barely letting it go for God. And they wonder why their children are having problems in the world. Don't you think those people know what they're doing? They're skilled in the art of propaganda. And it's nothing new. Jim Henson, before he died, the creator of the Muppets, says, the whole reason I designed the Muppets is to teach Eastern mysticism and Buddhism to children. So this has long been in Hollywood and the movie industry. All the sweet little Muppets, Elvira the Pig or whoever it is, and Kermit the Frog, sweet little puppets, right? They're there to teach Eastern mysticism and Buddhist thought to children. The Creator said so. But you think that evil communications will not corrupt good manners, right? Why does God say, be not deceived? They will corrupt good manners. What is it in us that says, well, my children will survive the Buddhist indoctrination? What is it that makes us stand up and think that we're going to be immune when God says you will not be? What about this one? All of the major children's television shows are joining together in a coalition with the We Are Family Foundation to promote the homosexual agenda under the guise of teaching children tolerance and diversity in our culture. Characters from such shows as Arthur, Barney, Bob the Builder, Jimmy the Neutron. Do you know who Arthur is? Okay, Valerie, do you know who Barney is? Do you know who Jimmy the Neuron is, the neurotic neutron? You don't. That's important, isn't it? I'm not bragging, but your children ought to be able to say the same thing. They're going to appear in a video performance of a song titled We Are Family by the We Are Family Foundation, a pro-homosexual, pro-feminist organization. They distributed the video to 61,000 public schools across the country. Then you've got Disney's homosexual producer of Desperate Housewives. I just want to show you the nice films and movies that Disney is putting out. This isn't Preach Against Disney Day, but I'm using that as just an example of how Christians are not pulling that bow back far enough. You understand that? They don't see what in the world's going on out here. Job 14 says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No, not one." So to go to the sewer of Hollywood and expect to bring something clean out of it is just wrong. I don't have to sit down and watch a Disney movie to show you every place where you had homosexual propaganda, disobedience to parents, rebellion, witchcraft, shamanism. You shouldn't have to do that. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? You should already know that it's corrupt. Real quickly, what can be more harmless than Bambi 2? Bambi! Now, you know, set aside talking deer and things like that, and just for a moment, set aside whether that's right or not. You know, Balaam's ass talk, so let's just go with it for a second. Bambi 2! I don't have to view Bambi 2! It obviously, this will be good for my child. I don't use any of the mess. You understand that? But some people do. And they would think, well, little Bambi, that would be okay. Well, stop for a second. Who owns Disney? Who runs their animation department? What is their agenda? And in Bambi 2, you have a little deer, Bambi. You know, it's a boy named Bambi. And he is has a father that is gruff with him and stern. Well, there you go again. Seems like nobody can make a movie or a cartoon without the father being the bad guy. So you've got the stern father that says, boy, sit down. Sit down when I speak to you. You know, and he's this gruff type of father. All right. And so the little boy feels alienated. The little Bambi deer feels alienated. He wants to live up and get approval from his father. Well, guess what? The main theme of the show is little Bambi finding himself. Discovering himself. Guess how he discovers himself? By disobeying his father. His father says, wait at the den. He doesn't wait at the den. And he enters into some experiences where he learns that he can jump really far. And for the first time, his father praises him. So he finds fulfillment. He finds himself, how? Rebelling against his father. Later, his guardian tells him to stop and not run, but he disobeys that authority to save the guardian. Are these things accidentally placed in the movie? You know why they're not accidentally placed in the movie? Because there is a revival of Crawleyism. Aleister Crowley, Satanism, today, like never before. You find Crowley's writing saying every person is a star and they have to find themselves. And the way to find yourself and to find freedom is by disobeying authority. You must disobey the authority structure and you will find yourself and you can be that star that God wants you to be. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So Harry Potter novels, she writes in there, little Harry Potter, around the same age as Bambi, the same age that Aleister Crowley finds out that he's a wizard, the same age that Harry Potter found out who he really was, he disobeys authority and discovers his witchcraft. Then he goes over to the witchcraft school and he disobeys his teachers. And the teachers laugh and smile at one another and they say, we know this is how he's going to find himself. That's how you found yourself. So let him continue to disobey. What is Harry Potter teaching? Disobedience is the path to freedom. What's the whole Bambi movie about? Disobey and you will find who you are. What did the devil tell Eve? Disobey and you'll find godhood. Godhood comes from disobedience to authority. And what did the Bible say in the last days? They will be disobedient to parents. I'm telling you, you may watch something and not recognize that you're looking at pure Satanism. And the people that designed it are Satanists. And they're teaching one thing. Rebel against authority and you will find fulfillment. That's it. And people get confused because there's so many other noble themes scattered beside that theme. Courage, bravery, a father learning not to be a jerk and to be a good father. Oh, those are wonderful noble themes, aren't they? But the central theme that they want to hit between the eyes of your child is that if you disobey your daddy, you'll have some wonderful experiences and you'll find out who you really are. You know what I say? I say you better chunk all of it. While you still have the opportunity to teach your children, you better get them out from under it and go down to the river and throw rocks or something. You better find wholesome family entertainment and get out from under that dung. Now the question was, can we pull this thing so far that it can break? Yes, you can. But you know one of the chief reasons bows break? Read about it. Read some archery articles. One of the chief reasons bows break is not because they've been pulled back too far. Every archery maker and bow maker will tell you that it's very, very difficult to break a bow. They will tell you that. It's hard to break a bow. It's very difficult for you to pull your child back too much from this ungodly world. You understand that? It'd be very difficult today for you to do that. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can be too strict. But it sure would be difficult. Most bows break because they've never been pulled back. That's it. They've hardly ever been pulled back. So when you go to pull it back one good time, it breaks. So what does that teach us? You better practice pulling that bow back. But let's answer the question. Can you pull it back too much? Can you pull your child back and protect it to such a degree that it hurts the child? It is true that a mighty man, oh, he has to have some backbone. Oh, I tell you what, he's got to resist grandmas and aunts and cousins and everybody around him. He's got to have some backbone. But you can pull him back too far because the Bible teaches us in Psalms 18, he teacheth my hands to war so that a bow still is broken by my arm. It's possible to break a bow. So let's just say, Somewhere out there, there's a daddy that's too strict. He don't want to go down to the river because you might get bit by a snake. He doesn't go to the parks. He doesn't do anything. The children never get any sunshine. There's never any smiles in the home. There's never any wholesome family entertainment. Everything's just work, do this, do that. And there's no affection. Yeah, that's possible. But show me where these people are. I'd like to find them. I'm not saying they're not out there, but people talk about people being too strict and you evaluate their life. They weren't too strict. They didn't let their children talk on the phone, but they sent them to public education. See. There's always a gap somewhere. Bonhoeffer says it is the characteristic excellence of the strong man that he can bring momentous issues to the fore and make a decision about them. The weak are always forced to decide between alternatives they have not chosen themselves. Well, are you going to let them see a Disney movie or are you going to let them see some of this other movie? Weak people have to decide between two evils. Strong people don't have to decide between two evils. Well, you'll look at it and you'll say, we're not going to do either. Well, nobody makes that decision. I just made the decision. We're going to make that decision. Because I'm going to stand up for my family. I don't care if none of you do it. I'm going to do it. I'm thankful for hiking trails, zoos, rivers, state parks. I think there's a lot of fun you can have in this age. And I don't think any other children have more fun than my children. And I think any godly man that loves his children can say that. Sometimes you have to go to places and you think they're wholesome and they're not. I went to SeaWorld one time with my children. And there was a clown that was very, very vulgar. And we left. Very, very. And that's how these clowns are today. They think it's funny. And they figure, your children are watching this stuff anyway. What's a little bit of vulgarity in front of the children? A brother here in this church went to a rodeo. He said, well, here's a wholesome. Just go to a little city rodeo. That'll be nice and wholesome, won't it? And he brought his children to the city rodeo. And there was vulgarity. So I'm telling you, the places that a Christian can go for safe, wholesome entertainment, you're back to nature, brother. I mean, you really are. The world's controlling just about everything, and they're vulgar. I think we ought to quickly just read through some blog responses as we close. To a girl that was 15 that was out with her boyfriend, and the car ran off the road. Thank you, brother. You can sit down. The car ran off the road, and she died. And here are some blog responses to that story. Girl 15 dies of injuries from crash. One lady writes, sad ending to a young girl's life. I have to wonder why a 15-year-old was out joyriding with this guy to start with. So goes the society that we live in today. When I was 15, I couldn't even go out and sit on the curb in front of our house with my friends after dark. Were my parents too strict? Not a bit. They loved me and took the time to watch over me. I thank them for that watchful guardianship, and I in turn implemented the same standards to my own children, and now I'm seeing my children do the same with their kids. Success! 3 generations of success! Hallelujah! How did they do it? Pulling them back! When everybody else says, that's too strict, that's too strict. The next person writes, thank you, dear God, for giving us the strength. You see what we're talking about? The might that it takes to pull the bow back. Thank you, God, for giving us the strength and wisdom not to cave in to everyone is going. Or you just don't want me to have any fun. Do you see what I'm saying? It takes strength to pull that bow back. Somebody else wrote, I agree with both posts. We need to return to more traditional parenting. You're not their buddy, you're a parent. The hardest job there is. There's somewhat of an awakening, isn't there? There's somewhat of an awakening today. And if you didn't get it with your children, get it with your grandchildren. Teach your children this as adults. Do everything we can to implement this in society so we get back to a new awakening of traditional parenting. Another writer says, there will never come a time when my 15-year-old will even be dating, let alone riding in the car of an underage driver. I say, amen. As I'm always telling my daughter, she's 5, no means no, so don't ask again. And I'm not your friend, I'm mommy. We need this today. But hold on a second now. The other folks are still out there. You disgust me. Times now compared to times back when you were a kid have changed in so many ways. Do you see what they just said? Well, that's all the more reason to go back to the traditional way. Well, you can't live like that. We're not in the 40s anymore. You have to immerse your child in the world. And here somebody says, when you restrict your children in the way you describe, they are bound to sneak out and get into worse trouble than they would if you simply allowed them to go out on their own. Not allowing them to experience the real world is also hurting them for the future. That's like a radio show I heard one time where a mother says, well, I do let them play ungodly, evil, sick, disgusting games, but at least they're not out doing drugs. Well, I let them go anywhere they want because they're going to do it anyway. And if you're going to smoke pot, you might as well do it with me. If you're going to fornicate, you know, if you're going to do, that's what parents are saying today. That's defeatism, isn't it? You know what? If you do send your child to public school where you can't watch who they're talking to, they probably will sneak out. Because if you let your little impressionable teenager meet all these people in the bathroom at some local school, then they're going to learn to hate your authority. See? But if they're always around people that love authority and think authority is godly, they're going to respect authority. Okay, let me give you these two verses in close. It's hot. I was long today, but it's an important message, isn't it? It's important, isn't it? I'm hotter than you are. Let's read these last verses. And I'm just going to call for some mighty man to pull that bow back. I can't wait to preach the next message on the other part. That's just half of child raising. That's just half. You got to let the arrow go and aim it while you have the opportunity. I can't wait to talk about that. But we're preaching on this right now. So I'm going to end with some verses here. Genesis 35. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. There's a lot of gods on them videos, you know that? And be clean. There's a lot of toys. They're just little devils. And change your garments and let us arise and go up to Bethel. What's Bethel? What's that mean? The house of God. Amen. Old Jacob got revival, didn't he? And they gave unto Jacob, you better believe, because Jacob meant business. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their earrings which were in their ears. Isn't that something? That's prophetic, isn't it? Son, I want you to go give me all those earrings in your ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Why did he do that? He didn't have time to melt them down. He wants to hide them so nobody else would get the junk. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. You know what? When Christians stand up and start doing stuff like this, I think the world gets intimidated. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, let me give you a New Testament verse, all right? Acts 19, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them, not privately, but before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Again, terror on the cities when God's people are purified. What do we have here? A public display of burning the satanic videos and books. And what happens? The word of God prevails. The word of God cannot prevail until we make a distinction between lies and truth. When we burn Harry Potter and say, this is not true, Harry Potter books, it causes the Word of God to shine forth. Last verse is a test you can apply to whatever you set before the eyes of your child. It's the final test. Ask yourself this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, E.T. isn't lovely. All these ogres and monsters that are coming out in Disney, those aren't lovely. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If we're going to think on those things, then your children ought to be thinking on those things. Don't set before your children anything that is not virtuous, lovely, holy, and pure. That's simple, isn't it? And you'll raise godly children. All right, we'll go on to the next part next time, God willing. Let's have a few moments of an invitation, a call to repentance, if you need it. Or maybe you just want to pray for somebody that you love that needs to get clean. But let us examine our own lives first. There might be clothes in that closet. There might be videos and toys and garbage. Oh, please, if you just listen to one thing today, if I could grab every one of you and just implant in your head, don't gamble with God. Don't take that chance that your child's not going to grow up lesbian or sodomite or New Ager or witchcraft and tell you at 13 or 14, I don't believe like you, Daddy. I think all religions are true. God, please raise up godly men and women today, Father. Please raise up godly grandmothers and grandfathers. Please raise up some fathers and mothers, God, that'll take your warning seriously, Lord. Oh God, we want to do our part right here in Kingdom Baptist and all those that you've graciously allowed us to affect and influence. Let us all join together, Lord, with this common cause all around the world, with our brothers and sisters who are implementing these things in their home. And let them despise the world when it mocks. We trust our Lord. We trust you, God. We know if we pull that bow back, it's not going to hurt our children. Because you're good, God. Your ways are perfect. Let the world mock and blaspheme. They're in darkness. They lie in the hands of the wicked one. God bless those today that have determined to be like Jacob and confront their households in love and patience, but God getting the job done. And let us pray for those, Lord, that we know that are immersed in the culture, because we know what's going to happen a few years later, God, as the rotten fruit comes in. God, have mercy on them. We love you, Jesus. Come quickly. Thank you for your saving blood, your love. And you call us to be your friend today, God. And you said if we love the world, we're your enemy, God. That if we're a friend of the world, we're your enemy. We don't want to be your enemies, God. We want to be your friends. We want our children, God, to be your friends, Lord. Let them be friends of Jesus. And despise the ways of the world, God, please. Bless our lunch and fellowship together and whatever work we do on the air conditioning, God. Throughout this week, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, come quickly. Amen.